revive us again. We'll be in the book of Mark. Good to have all of you here. Trust that you had a good afternoon in the Lord. Maybe got you a power nap or got you a 2-hour sleep, whichever one you got. I hope you're ready for the Word of God. You're ready to get into the Word of God and learn something that'll help us to be more Christ-like, more God-honoring. Mark, and I believe we're in chapter 6, verse 14 is where we'll begin. Good to have Brother Jimmy's sister with us again tonight. Thank you for being with us. We're glad that you're here. Hope that you have a wonderful time here in the house of God as well. And you hear so much bad on Facebook.
Something, did it go away? It won't come back? Okay. They kept looking at me like he's saying something, his lips moving, but I can't hear nothing. On internet and stuff like that. Well, I want to share a blessing with you that just came in Saturday. You know, we posted a prayer request for Marisol Bennett about being in the hospital. We posted it on our Facebook message. Facebook page, the church Facebook page. There is a gentleman in Louisiana that saw it, and he sent an offering and wants us to get it to Miss Bennett. So, Brother Randy, if you could get their mailing address so we could mail that to him, it'd be a blessing from him. He saw it on Facebook, saw the need, and God said, he wanted to help and send it here to the church and wants us to get it to them. So that's there's something good that comes out of some of this stuff on the internet. So that's a blessing. Somebody all the way in Louisiana will be moved enough to want to be a blessing to that family. And
I've never met the gentleman. I've met his daddy, but I've never met him. Never met the son. But I know his dad. His dad's a pastor in Pickin, Louisiana, but he lives in another town in Louisiana, so that was a blessing that, I don't know if I need to tell his dad that, hey, what, you know, this is what your son did or what. I don't want to embarrass his son, but that encouraged me. It really did, and I'm sure it'd be an encouragement to Bennett's. It's kind of a difficult time in their life, so be in prayer for them. Mark chapter number 6. Verse 14, Mark chapter 6 and verse 14. We'll read down to verse 29 tonight. Sound was better the other way. That's what they say. Revert
or whatever that's saying. Go back the other way. Is that better? Oh, I must have been sounding like Chewbacca or something. All right. We've got a problem with a channel, and the only way to fix it, I've got to be talking. So that's what's going on. We ask them not to do it with a guest speaker here. Do it in the Sunday evening service, so that's what's going on. So let's. They're trying their best to get that worked out. There's some kind of a little bug up there. They're working on it as we speak, and so we'll just keep going. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or is one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." For Herod himself had sent forth and laid a hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Verse 21. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod, on his birthday, had a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Verse 25. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou givest me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. It's a pretty sad portion of scripture right here. Now, this is Herod Antipas, son of Herod the Great, who ruled Galilee and Pyrrha from about 4 B.C. to A.D. 39. And he's in an incestuous marriage here. His niece Herodias, former wife of his half-brother, now it's resulted in murder. Kind of reminds me of the story of David and Bathsheba. See, sin just keeps taking you further. It was sin for this man to have this woman as his wife. And said, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, if you would, go with me to Leviticus chapter 18. In verse 16, John wasn't just making up something when he said to Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. In Leviticus chapter 18, in verse 16. Leviticus 18:16, the Bible says, Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswomen. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness besides other in her lifetime. Verse 19, also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Verse 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord thy God. Very plain right there. The preacher over here in Luke, it didn't say anything about uncovering no nakedness. If you've been married, you know it's going to happen. Just that simple. God said that it wasn't right for one brother to uncover the nakedness of another brother's wife. And that's why John said, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. There, and if look over in Leviticus chapter number 20. Flip over to Leviticus chapter number 20. And verse number 21. Verse number 21, the Bible says there, and if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered her, his brother's necklace. They shall be childless. So this is where we're at this here. This is why John the Baptist preached the word of God. Now what's amazing thing, and he said to him, it's not lawful for you to have it. It seems as though Herod kind of was convicted by it, and he understood what John was saying. But Herodias, the Bible says there in verse 19, back over the book of Mark, therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him. Not only did she have a quarrel, said he would have killed him, but she could not. Verse 20, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him, and when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. I think Herod here really understood where John was coming from. He was really showing him what the Word of God says. And, you know, any ruler over a people, over a nation, over a city, even, you know, down to a constable, a mayor, would be wise to think about what God thinks about something. It really would. And I think at this point, Herod's really saying, what, you know, what to do here? Boy, but Herodias, she wasn't happy at all. She had her own opinion about what was going on. Now the thing is, John began did his work and followed the Lord and was obedient to the word, to the scripture. Others began to see Jesus and all the works he was doing, and that's where verses 14 and 15 and 16 comes in. As Herod heard these things, now he's haunted. Man, this is John risen from the grave. Some of the other ones said, no, this ain't John, this is Elias. No, it's not Elias, but it's a prophet. Maybe it's not a prophet, it's one of these prophets. They began to see the works. Do you see the picture here? People of God should represent God. And by represent God, you will start to look and act like God. And that's what you see. They're talking about this passage of Scripture is these people's opinion on who Jesus was. Now we know Jesus was the Son of God. The Bible says if we're saved that we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. And so therefore as we're being conformed, that God begins to chisel, begins to mold, begins to take us and make us into that image. Eventually we begin to start and to look like Christ. No, we'll never become Christ. This was not, John the Baptist or the prophets was never Christ, but the things they did was so similar that the opinions of others said, this isn't Christ, this is John the Baptist. Matter of fact, Herod there, he was adamant, verse 16, but when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John. What did Jesus say about John? No greater man born of woman. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. So the Bible says in the book of John. John didn't have a choice in this matter. John didn't have a choice in what was going on. The Bible said that John's job was going to be forerunner to Christ. He didn't have a choice. He was born and he was going to do that job. He was going to make way the path straight for Jesus to come. And as he came on the scene, this is his things. Preaching the word of God. Herodias gets upset, has a quarrel, locks him in jail. He's in jail, he's sitting there. Man, what is going on? I don't even know if this is the Christ. But then here on the other hand, other people are saying, this Christ, this is John. And Jesus said, go tell John these things. The lame walk, sick or healed. He's on the right path. Sometimes life is just simply rough. Sometimes you just do what you're put here to do, and as you're put here to do, sometimes your life works out like it is here in John's life. All John did was tell a man, said, this woman's not, it's not lawful for you to have her. He's in prison. Prison for what? Bold preaching, simply saying that this I told y'all the story up there, and the statesman there in Georgia, state of Georgia, met with about 220 preachers, Baptist preachers. And this was probably about 6 years ago. Met with them. And they was wanting to know how he was going to vote on this here same-sex marriage things up there. And he just looked at them in the white of the eye and said, "You lost this battle when you quit preaching on marriages forever." He looked at the preachers. He said, don't put this on me. When you as preachers backed off of the Word of God, you are at fault for this. Wow. Listen, I understand divorce happened. Jesus understood divorce happened. He said, "I must needs go to Samaria." And when he got there, who did he meet? Met with a woman who had been divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried. He loved her. Saved her soul. Matter of fact, she became a great witness. Went right back onto the town. The whole town come out to hear. He's the God of second chances. But doesn't change this mind on the situation. It is what God said it is. Matter of fact, it was so straight and so narrow that the disciples said this. "It's good. We don't even get married. Man, if I can't get rid of one I want to, shoot, I'm just going to stay single." That's what the disciples said. "Man, I'll just become a eunuch." That's how straight Jesus was on this. But with compassion, with love, used her in his work greatly. You know what he could have said? "You're right. You are a dog," because she did not call herself that. If you don't believe me, go put it's John chapter 4. You can go study it out. "They think of us as dogs." Jesus had compassion. Used her in the ministry. Disqualified in some areas. Well, number one, because she is a woman, and the woman cannot be a preacher. Oh, that boy, a preacher is back up now. Joyce Myers does a tremendous job. I'd say she did. She probably outpreached me, to be honest with you. But doesn't make her qualify. It's God's position. And as life goes on, here comes this here girl. This is an amazing thing. Here you got Herod. It's a birthday party. Got his statements. Got his estate. Rich folks. All those in power, and of course you know what's going on at this birthday party. There's undoubtedly gallons and gallons and gallons of Magdol 2020 been drunk. And she sends her daughter out there to dance in front of drunken men. She did it on purpose. She did it on purpose. She had a quarrel. She knew the state of affairs was going on. "Go on out there, honey. Go on out there and get out there and do your thing. Go on out there and get on the back of your pickup truck. Put your boots on. Put your shine on. Your sugar in your cup." Uh-oh, Brother Johnson, am I the only one? Am I the only one here? You got it, huh? "Shake it for the boys." God help us. Let's go on down to the Cowboys. Go down there to the disco. Go on down there to the Five Point. Go on down there to wherever you're going to go. Go on down to the skating rink. Shake it on up. And the Bible says if a man looks upon a woman in lust, it's adultery. What do you think's going on here? You read it with me. Let's read again, just so you got the picture. All right. Let me find it here in the Word of God. "Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him," verse 20. "Herod feared John." Verse 21. Here goes the convenient day. Herod was on his birthday about to supper to the lords, high captains, and chief states of Galilee. And when the daughter of his said Herodias came in and danced, and pleased Herod. Let me put it in plain English. Aroused Herod. He was willing to give up half his kingdom to this young girl now. And Mama's sitting over there all proud. Well, how do you know she put him up there? Because as soon as she got the answer from Herod, she went straight to who? Straight to Mama. Mama, what do you want? I don't know about you. This wasn't a Dodge Charger. This was a platter that they carried food on. This is how gross, this is how sin gets you. I don't know about you, I don't care how mad my mama was at John the Baptist. If Herod's fixing to give me half the kingdom, give me the half the kingdom. They're so foul and filthy and full of sin. Mama, what do you want? I want John's head on a charger, on a serving platter. That's demonic. Sin takes you further than you ever, ever want to go. And when it's all finished up, it destroys and kills, and it's like a vulture that comes down upon. I know y'all don't like preacher ever picking on your music. I know you don't ever want me talking about the way we dress and the modesty that should be there. But this is what happens. Preacher, it's 2017. We're done gone through a whole month. That's old fogey-dogey stuff. Yeah. And look at the preachers left and right falling into the sin of immorality. I'm not talking about the lay people. I'm talking about God's men that fall into the sin of immorality. A man sent from God. All he did was preach the word of God. He was locked up in jail. Now, next thing you know, here comes the executioner. Talking about fair trials and all that kind of stuff, huh? I don't know about you, but I've never read nowhere in Scripture where it says that you can just cut off a man's head just for preaching. And it'd be a lawful act. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. They're not going by the Word of God because they're not living godly lives. You got it. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. What does it say? On a convenient day. You know when we serve God? When it's convenient. No, not like a soldier that endures hardness, that's kept the faith and finished the fight. On a convenient day, we pull him off the back burner, stir up a little stew, and we're going to taste and see if God's good. All at a birthday party. John was beheaded on a charger. History says this, that in A.D. 39, Herod Agrippa, which you read about in Acts chapter 12, verse 1, the nephew of Herod Antipas, he denounced his uncle, and the Roman Empire disposed of Antipas, Herod Antipas, and he was in exile. He lost it all. Lost it all. Look over in Mark chapter number 8. Verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. Do you understand something that the Bible says this from the prophets until John? Let me get that verse here real quick. I don't want to mess that one up. Luke 16:16, and we're done. I'm going to say a few more things after that, then we're done. Something else is coming to my mind. I'd be glad. I bet y'all be glad sometimes when I get amnesia. Then I'll just ramble up here. It won't even make sense. I just talk. Just talk about this, that, and yonder, and everything else. Luke 16:16, he said, preacher, that's what you've done already. You talked about this, that, and yonder, and it's made me uncomfortable. It's just the absolute fact. The Bible says no man can take fire in his bosom and not be burned. Drink waters out of your own cistern. I know that's deep. Preacher, ain't got no cisterns. That means drink out of your own woman. I love Sunday nights. I really do. 16:16, I told y'all. Luke 16:16, the Bible says the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. There. Do you understand something? To be the first materials of the church there, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, it's there. The first materials was the apostles. He said first in the church, the apostles. The first materials had to be baptized by John. They had to see Jesus walking to and fro and buried and resurrected. That's what says Acts chapter 1. This wasn't your ordinary preacher. But you know what happened? When his followers was around him and Jesus showed up, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. You know, dear friend, we're not to point people to ourselves. We've got to get them to Christ. And that has to do with your life. Your lifestyle is important. Why? Because they thought, when Jesus showed up on the scene, they thought John the Baptist rose from the grave. Because he walked that close to God. No, that's not John, that's Elias. Why? Because Elias walked that close to God. If somebody looks at your life, would they mistake you? Or would they have absolute evidence that you are a child of the King? Well, pretty moral guy. He might be a Christian. Morality will keep you clean fleshly, but it won't get you into heaven. It takes Jesus Christ and Him alone. Him alone. If you aggravate with me tonight because I touched something that is near and dear to your heart, maybe you need to ask yourself if that music or that dress or that clothing or that drink, that lifestyle, if it's more important than Jesus, it might be that you have the problem and not preacher. It might need to be that preacher's not meddling. It's just preacher's trying to protect you. Because it's heartache. It's pain. Listen, no man wants to find out his wife's been with another woman. No wife wants to find out her man's been another. No children want to find out that mom and dad's fixing to get a divorce because of alcohol. No children wants to be, wake up one day, where's dad? Or he's not here anymore because he loves someone. They don't want that. They don't want it. It's heartache, it's pain, it's suffering. No wife really wants to endure years and years and years of that either, do they? But there's some women just stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. They need love and tenderness. They need God's people to huddle up and to surround and to carry them through those deep, those difficult times. I guess a verse that comes to my mind is verse James 4, and I think 17, maybe it's 19. To him that knoweth be right, doeth it not. To him it is sin. It's sin. If you know to do right, you choose not to do it, dear friend, you stand wanting in the eyes of God. It won't be my measuring stick. It won't be my weight. You'll give an account to Jesus Christ, the righteous. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here and part of your house and to be part of the evening worship service here. Lord, I thank you for such faithfulness. Lord, these folks could have stayed home. They could have been watching basketball, laid up, you know, maybe shooting pool somewhere, but they come to the house of God. And Lord, I just pray that you'd please help us to realize how important it is for us to live Christ-like lives. Shun the flesh and the appetites of the flesh. Desire righteousness and hunger and thirst after the Word of God, that we may live clean lives. God, I thank you that the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. Lord, when we do falter and fall, your sweet Spirit convicts us. He hinders. He tries to woo us away from such traps. God, help us to be faithful to hide thy word in our heart that we might not sin against thee. Lord, it's what's important is our relationship with you. We need to honestly ask ourselves right now tonight, each one of us, am I right with God? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.